Today is 26th of April 2025. This is the 181st session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaranavaneya. I would like to welcome Venerable Rohini to this session. We'd also like to welcome everyone who's participating via Zoom or Facebook live stream or whoever may be watching later. Our program, as usual, will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness. We will then follow it with today's topic, which is happiness, and we will finally be moving on to the Q&A and any reports sent to us. To begin today's session and start the in-session practice of mindfulness, I now invite Venerable Rohini to start this session.
Thank you, Sonali. Hello, everyone. For the in-session practice, today we will do walking. So last week we were doing the sitting one. So walking, mindful walk is beneficiary for anything. I mean, for the physical body as well as the mind. So it is a very good way to practice mindfulness. And if someone is practically can't find a time, also that kind of people can also do the same mindful walk, because every time, even at home and at workplace and even from in a shopping mall, we all do walking. So at any time we can use this walking practice. So in that sense also the walking, mindful walk is good. And the other thing is all the pressure points in your soul is kind of massaging act is happening while you are walking. So on top of that, when you are mindful, it is very useful. So keeping that in mind, we will do mindful walk. So in here today, what we are going to do, you can observe your foot or any sensations, and in the meantime, in the same time, you can observe your thoughts, whether while you are walking, while you are observing your bodily sensations, do you feel happy or not? So the two things we are going to combine today. One is you observe the foot or the any sensation while you are walking, whatever happened. So the sensations are observing and observe, but in the same time, you can observe. I must say, I should not say same time, but once in a while you can observe your thoughts, your feelings, emotional feelings, whether you are happy about this very moment or not. Are you happy about the mindful walk or not? Or when you are observing the sensations, whatever the sensations, do you feel happy about it? Likewise, whenever your mind is thrown away from the object of the feelings, the bodily feelings while you are walking, whenever it is drift away, if you feel happy, so or any other emotional sensations are there. So what we need to do while we are practicing walking meditation, we need to observe the feelings, the emotional feelings going with that. So I think we all can do this. So we'll try, and hopefully, we can have a successful mindful walk. So let's do that for 15 minutes, and then we can do the rest. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone like to share the experience? Did you feel happy about your mindful walk, or whatever the perception was there? I mean, maybe you heard noises, sounds, any uncomfortable feelings, whatever it is. How was the feelings about emotional feelings? Anyone like to share?
Venerable Rohini, I just realized my genes were very noisy. They were rubbing together and
Really?
making a lot of noise.
Okay.
That was one of the main ones I was feeling, as well as I do have an ongoing hip pain, which I'm aware of, but with every step to my when I put my right foot, I started feeling it again, and it was very minor, very, very subtle, but I felt it still.
Okay. Yeah, while I was walking, it's a bit cold here today. So where I am here is warm. So I went little out outside the room. So I felt a little cold, and I felt the same thing, like, okay, why am I doing here? And so it is not a pleasurable feeling, but it was neutral. But I was thinking like that too. Yeah, if any not anyone willing to share, yes, Tamari.
How's my venerable? I think I was doing a little bit problem solving, like halfway through when the object was not, I mean, my mind was not on the feet movement or just the walking movements. It seemed to have gone to problem solving, and I think it's a habit of mine anyway, so I just noticed that.
Okay, that's interesting. But still, did you feel happy about it while you are walking, when you do problem solving? Did
Yes, but it doesn't stay in problem solving mode. It just, I think, in between the attention from walking, the other spaces, when the attention has come away from walking, recognizing that I'm walking, that's when it happens. So it was neither pleasurable. I think it's a very familiar feeling for me. So it wasn't anything, dislikable or likable. It was
Okay.
neutral.
Yes, Siranti.
I started my walking and did the normal regular walking of concentrating on the soles of the feet. Then suddenly I thought, no, this is not what I'm supposed to do. I should be feeling the softness and this is not what I'm supposed to do. See whether I will feel the emotional aspect of it. Then I had to force myself, if you see what I mean. I suddenly forgot about what I was supposed to do. So I think it boils down to lack of mindfulness. So
That's
I thought.
fine. I mean, you did practice mindfulness. I mean, your attention was there. So,
Yes, attention was purely on the
only.
hardness and the softness and the cold feet, all that. Yeah, I don't know what I would say about that.
Usually, when we do mindful walk or mindful sitting, so sometimes you can catch the feelings, the emotional feelings. Sometimes you can't. When you are concentrated on the one thing, or the physical pains or physical sensations, then your mind will not go to the emotional feelings, and then you can't identify them. So that is fine, really.
Okay.
Sometimes you can like Sonali and myself, we were in a kind of tragedy, not kind of tragedy, but in an uncomfortable situation because of my cold condition and Sonali's painful hip. So likewise, if something different happening to you, unusual things happen, then we can observe our emotional feelings. So otherwise, if you are familiar with the mindful walk, attentively it goes to the physical sensation. Yes, Mihiri.
Thank you.
Yes, answer I remember me. It was really I felt pleasure because I was walking in a warm area, and my feet were warm because there's the heating underneath, and it was warm, so I felt pleasurable in that area. But then I walked in a different area which was cold, and I noticed I didn't have a displeasure with it, but I definitely felt I preferred the warm area. I noted that the change in the preference, I would say, for the warmer flow. Yes, and so, but it wasn't a huge, I didn't kind of think, oh no, I'm in a cold area. I didn't feel like that. Okay.
So, if only everyone shared their experience, so then we can move to next session and next agenda event or something. What I want to test was sometimes, although we are planning to have because mindful walk or mindful sitting is like how do you call the free time or stressless time, but sometimes according to the environmental conditions or the physical conditions, we are not going to have, we are not as expected, we are not having the pleasurable time or satisfactory time. So it is also changing. And with that comment, we will move into the talk, Sonali.
Yes, thank you, Venerable Rohini. So next is the talk on today's topic. As I said before, the topic this week and next week we're discussing is happiness. So the poster was sent to everyone with this lovely quote from Ajahn Chah: "When you no longer cling to happiness, you can begin to be truly happy." So to discuss today's start today's talk on happiness, I invite Venerable Rohini again.
Thank you, Sonali, again. Hello, everyone. The happiness, that's what we talked actually a little minute ago. So the poster write-up is when you no longer cling to happiness, you can begin to be truly happy, by Ajahn Chah. So in the beginning, I thought we will discuss a little bit of what is clinging. So according to the Dhamma in the script, so there are four kinds of clinging. One is sensual pleasure. We clings to sensual pleasure. We call it in Pali Kama Upadana. So it is a sensual pleasure. We always clinging to that. And the second one is clinging to views. So we all have views, different views. So we cling into that views. The third one is clinging into rituals and observations, observances. So the rituals is like, offering not the dan, offering flowers and say incense and the lamp, lighting lamps and all those things. And observance are like observing seal, the eight precepts or 10 precepts or like that. So those are also something we cling into. And the fourth one is clinging to the doctrine of self, the self. myself, they are self. So that is the four kind of views according to the script, according to the Dhamma. So one is the sensual pleasure. So we usually cling into that very bad way. So how we cling into those sensual pleasure is really in lay life, whatever we see, we cling into that. Whatever we hear, we cling into that. Either we clinging or we stressfully rejecting it. So either clinging or rejecting. So whatever we see, whatever we hear, and whatever we smell, whatever we taste, or whatever have of tactile feelings, so all those things we take as something to cling. So, for example, if we are seeing a person, a people, a child or a beautiful woman or a handsome man, so whatever the person, whoever the person, according to the nature of outfit or according to their color or according to their features, we cling. We want to see them again and again. For example, if you have children, you like to see them again and again. You like to keep them close by. So that is something clinging. So we never able to get rid of it. For example, as a children and parents and children, you can't avoid it. So it is very bonded clinging. So whenever we see something, the eyes are here, and the object, colorful or the with shape or color, the object or form is there. When the eye contact with the form, then the eye consciousness happen. Whenever the eye consciousness happen, we get the perception of whatever it is. For example, if I see a butterfly, so butterfly is flapping, butterfly is in distance, but I can see it. And whenever I saw, there's a eye consciousness. According to the eye consciousness, I identify it as a butterfly. Whenever I identify it as a butterfly, I have a feeling of pleasurable feeling, either pleasurable or unpleasurable. If there it is a butterfly, then I will most probably I will get the pleasurable feeling. Whenever I get the pleasurable feeling, I like to see it again. I like to happen it again. So that is how clinging happen. Whenever there is a pleasurable thing, we tend to have it again and again. We tend to listen. If there is a beautiful song or piece of music, we like to hear it again and again. When there is a tasty food, so we like to have it again. So all the desires leads to the clinging. So whenever we have a desire for having something, that means we are going towards to the clinging. So we can't avoid whenever we have whenever we see something, whenever we hear something, whenever we taste something, whenever we smell something, whenever we have a tactile feelings, or whenever we think. So we have, most of the time, we have clinging nature. We cling into those things because we all want to be happy. So whenever the pleasurable feelings are there, we cling into that, especially with the pleasurable feelings, not with the unpleasurable feeling, maybe slightly with the neutral feelings. But mostly, if there's any pleasurable feelings, we very bond to clinging. When there is an unpleasurable feeling, so we want to avoid it. So we want to get rid of it. We want to move away from it. So that is another way or another kind of clingy. The distraction or moving away is the opposite side of the clingy. So the, both are in when we discuss about the dependent origination. Maybe you heard about it. It is in Dhamma. So the in simple sense, it is cause and effect. So it is the core value of Buddhism in some sense. So the dependent origination, it is described whenever you have a desire, the clinging is unavoidable. So whenever you have open eyes, whenever you can hear, so when if you are not deaf, so when if you can hear, whenever the pleasurable sounds is there, we like to hear it again. And we are looking for it again, and we are going to buy it, or we are going to see it wherever we possible. We will go. For example, if our parents are in back in Sri Lanka, we like to go there and see them. We like to go again and again. Every time we can, we will go. So that is why, because we are clinging to people, we are clinging to places, we are clinging to things. So with this clinging, why we cling into those things? Because it gives us a happiness. So because of happiness, we cling into things. And when we talk about views, we cling into our views. If I say, okay, I am so and so, and my opinion is that, so I'd like to keep it. So I am not going to deny you. I am not going to suspend. So I like to keep my view for whatever the reason, whatever the circumstances, whatever the whatever happening, but I like to keep my view. So that is also something we cling on. We cling on to the views and rituals also. Sometimes we like to offer flowers, or we like to offer oil lamps or whatever, the incense and those things. Some people doesn't like it, but as much as possible, I like to keep my view as to do that. So likewise, there are many, many things we are cling on to because we looking for happiness. Everything we do to see the happiness. We do to acquire the happiness. We do to feel the happiness. What is the matter in here is, in according to the quote, according to the Ajahn Chah, he says, when you no longer cling into happiness, you can begin to be truly happy. So usually we are clinging into happiness. That is why we are looking for all the senses to like whatever you want to see, you want to see. You do whatever you can to fulfill that desire. So why? Because you are clinging to happiness. You want to have that happiness. You look for it and you are doing whatever you can to achieve it. But the thing is, this happiness is impermanent. Why? Because all the senses, for example, if I have a pleasurable feeling while I was while I am watching a movie, so it's a beautiful movie, it has a beautiful songs and all the things are beautiful, so I like to see it again, I like to watch it. But if you watch it 3 times, 4 times, then what happened? Your pleasurable feeling towards that movie is fading away. It is not keeping it as before. For example, another example I can give, if you are thirsty, you can have a glass of water or glass of orange juice or apple juice or something, but first glass of orange juice or the apple juice or the water is very tasty and you like it a lot. And the second one, if someone else asks you to have, oh, okay, have a second one, what, how do you feel? You don't feel that happiness, or you don't feel that pleasurable feeling in there. Although you, before you like it, and you, before you want to have it, and before you were so much of greed there, so you want to, the happiness is there, but the second one, no longer. So that impermanent nature is distracting this happiness. The sensual feelings, we, if we take sensual feelings, also the same. If we want to eat something, it is tasty and I like to eat it. But if someone gives you every day that kind of food, you no longer like it. You don't want to have it. Maybe a month later or so, but in frequently, if you get it, you don't have that desire and you don't have that clinging on that food, because you are not happy about it. So everything we do to keep ourselves happy. The changing nature is distracting this one. Because, for example, sensual pleasure, the facts, or butterfly is not flapping all the time in front of me. Although I am going doing a walking meditation, or although I am doing a mindful walk every day, every day I can't see butterflies. Maybe once in a while. Then once in a while when I see, I feel happy. But if I want to feel it again and again, I can't ask butterfly to come and see me. Oh, I can't do that. So there's a kind of uncontrollable, unstable facts in the outside world. So we can't control the outside world. We can't control myself as well. So because of that impermanent nature, because of that unstable nature, we are not in a happy mood. So we always clinging for something to see, for something to grab, to make an happy happiness. So in other words, what we are lucky, or what we are having, or what we desire to have, is to fulfill the happiness. So in other way, the happiness is the clinging. The clinging nature, we are very much clinging to happiness. That is why we want to have different things. That is why we are looking for different things. That is why we are giving a lot of money, or taking anything we prefer, because we want to keep ourselves in a happy mood. So the sensual pressure is completely beyond our control. So whatever we can, maybe we can have, we'll have money and we can buy anything. We can buy a new phone, we can buy a new TV, or we can buy a big TV screen, but still, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, or less than 2 months, you will have that happiness. But next month, it is faded away, and you are no longer happy about that object. So you are looking for something else to give you happiness. So that is what happened. The happiness is we looking for outside. We are trying to find something that from outside will keep us happy. That is the wish, but it is not happening. It is only for a few or short period it will happen, but not all the time. So when whatever happened, we like to keep it for long term, but it is very hard to keep long in long term. So that is why we are unsatisfactory, and otherwise we are anxious about those things. So what we need to do, we need to find something else to keep us happy. Keep us happy without judgment. So if we judge For example, when I saw the butterfly, I felt it is as a pleasurable thing to watch. So there's a judgment. If I see a butterfly and if I don't have any judgment, if I look at like just a butterfly, so it is just a butterfly, I don't worry about it and I don't want to look at it again. So there's no judgment. There's a just I saw, that's all. But whenever we have clinging on that, that means we are happy about it and we want to be happy in that sense again and again, losing my eyes. Whenever we hear something, a song, a beautiful song, I want to hear it again. Why? Because I am happy about it. I am happy to hear it. But because of the impermanent nature of myself and my mind and that the outside world, so I can't keep it in that sense all the time. The perceptions are different from time to time. How you perceive it with the pleasurable feeling or the unpleasurable feelings also depend on the outside world. So we are not under control, the outside world, either outside world or myself. So because of that, clinging is making, actually creating anxiety and disappointment whenever the things do not go in a planned way, whenever the things do not happening in a my wish. So how do we overcome this? This is the problem actually, because in clinging thing or desires are always make us suffer. Because of the desires, when we can't achieve or when we can't take it or when we can't keep it, we always get distressed. So because of that, we get physical sicknesses as well as emotional sicknesses. So because of these emotional well-being, we have to find some other way to keep ourselves in a happy mood. So for that, we need to find that sensual pleasure is the first of all. We need to understand and we need to avoid or we need to aware of what is causing this self senses. So the senses, whenever we feel, whenever we have that kind of feeling, the very pleasurable feelings, if we can acknowledge it as same as when we get the negative emotions, then we are in a neutral way, then we are in a balanced way. But the thing is, whenever we get the negative emotions, we are very distressed because it doesn't give us happiness. But instead, whenever we have positive emotions, we are very happy and we are very overwhelming for those things. So if we can look at all the emotions as same way, like in Pollyanna book. So the Pollyanna has understand there are many different emotions, but every emotion has something positive. So if we can see emotions in that sense, emotions in that way, the every emotions, whether it is positive or negative, those both emotions has something to good, something to be happy as well as something to be unhappy. So everything has both sides. So if we can think in that sense, if we can look at emotions with the same balance or without judgment, if we can observe the emotions like in that sense, in like that way, then we are going to have a kind of balanced emotions. So if we have balanced emotions, we are not overwhelmed with the positive and having happy, very happy mood with the positive, and in opposite with the negative. So if we can find All the positive emotions as well as negative emotions are impermanent. It is not permanent thing. It is also always fade away, move away. Whether it is positive or negative, it doesn't matter. All those are things, those are fade away. Those will go out. So most of the time when we have negative feelings, we are very unhappy. We get sick. We are crying or we are distressed and we can't do other works, and also all sort of things happen when the negative feelings, negative emotions we take as permanent. Usually positive things are move fast. Whenever we are happy, it past, it goes, it moves fast. But whenever we feel negative things, so whenever we feel sad or something will happen like that, it lasts for long because it hurts. Whenever something hurts, we like to keep it. We like to remember it. We like to, think about it again and again. So if we can avoid that thinking, whenever the negative thing happens, so it is not something that keeping my mind in a happy mood, but still there are something I can take from that experience. It's like in a Pollyanna. So what is that positive thing I can take from that? Then if you understand the positive thing, then you can move to the positive side. So it is not like really you can move, but you can at least keep it in a balanced way. So also you can practice to avoid the clinging of happiness. You can practice the gratitude as well. So if you can be gratitude yourself about how you behave, how you think, how you dress, how you have, whatever you have, if you can keep that, cultivate the gratitude towards yourself, like you are keeping gratitude for others. So that is also a good thing to keep the happiness without clinging on to the happiness. If you are looking for everything, like everything you see, everything you hear, everything you taste, like a good one, and I want to keep it, to keep my happiness in on the way, so that is not... that is really a clinging to the happiness. If we are not going to find the happiness only, if you are accepting only the positive things, then we are clinging to the happiness. But if we can manipulate, if we can pursue ourselves to focus on negative side as well, then we are not clinging to the happiness, but we are looking at in an unjudgmental way, looking at without attachment. So without letting go is something like that. So if we can let go things, then you are not clinging into the happiness also. The impermanence is the one thing, and then nature of uncontrollable nature is another thing, and then the accepting the gratitude is also one thing we can practice to avoid the clinging of unhappiness. And the most important thing is practicing mindfulness. That is what we did before, actually, a mindful walk. That's why I asked what you feel about emotionally while you are walking. So practicing mindfulness is focusing one thing at a time, and the focus in the present moment. So while you are focusing the present moment, that means if there's a sound, you are focused on that. While you are focusing on sound, that means you are not judgmental on sound. So you are not seeking a pleasurable thing to be happy. So you're just watching it, you're just observing it. So as long as you are observing, there's no judgment. And there is no any clinging onto that. You are not clinging to the sound. You are not clinging to the smell. You are not clinging to the any taste or anything. Right now, what is happening? You are enjoying the food. You are enjoying the food. You are enjoying the smell. That is only you are doing. That there is no enjoyment with the happiness. That is just what is happening is you are enjoying. So that is the mindfulness. So with the mindfulness, you can avoid the clinging of toward the happiness. That is what Ajahn Chah mentioned here also. With the mindfulness, you are focusing on present moment, observing thoughts and observing emotions without attachment, without evasion. So if you are eating, for example, or if you are having a cup of tea, so you before you are maybe rushing it. Maybe you just drink, you don't know what you drink, you just drink and you are thinking of something else. But instead, if you can feel the warmth of the cup, or you can smell the aroma, and if you taste the flavor, and this simple act of mindfulness make you to transfer experience, this experience into the like a genuine joy. You are not enjoying like I want this cup of tea because yesterday I had that cup of tea. It is so nice. So today I am going to have it. No, it is not in there. It's just you are enjoying the cup of tea. That you are enjoying the smell. You are enjoying the warmness. You are enjoying the aroma. Everything is there. You are enjoying it, but not clinging into the last cup of tea. Not clinging into whatever you had before. So that is also if you are doing mindful eating, you can practice it. And if you are while you are walking, so that is what we did before. We are walking, we can enjoy the foot, or when we can enjoy the movement, we can enjoy the feelings, bodily feelings or emotional feelings, but not clinging into that. We are not thinking, okay, yesterday I had very good walking, mindful walk. So if I can have that also today, that is clinging. So that is clinging to the happiness. So we like to happy. We happy to have that kind of mindful work today as well. So that is clinging onto the happiness. So if we can be mindful in every time, all the time, as much as possible, then we are not clinging into the happiness, but we are enjoying the very good moment. So whether you are having food, or whether you are having a cup of tea or a glass of water, or whether you are having just a walk through the forest, it doesn't matter. You are enjoying right now. You are not comparing the whatever you had before with right now what you are having. So that is if you are comparing, and if you are giving some judgmental thoughts, if you are having some emotional marking, so this is better than last week, or this is worse than last week. Like if you compare, that means you are giving some remarks. That means you are clinging on to the happiness, whatever you had before, and you are expecting it to have it again right now or tomorrow. So likewise, if the greedy or the desire is there, whenever the desire is there, that means you are clinging into the happiness. So you are looking for the happiness. So whatever we do, without any judgment and without any how do you call desires, as much as possible, we will try to be mindful and look at the very moment of this moment. It is as the warmer time, or it is as a pleasurable time, without comparing with the past, or without comparing with what we'll have next. So in that, if we If we can continue like that, we can gradually entangled happiness or clinging happiness will fade away soon, I hope. And we will all do that mindful practice to avoid, to get rid of clinging happiness or clinging towards happiness or clinging towards anything. So thank you for listening. Over to you, Sonali.
Thank you very much, Venerable Rohini. That was a very interesting topic on how not to cling on to the idea of happiness to actually be happy. And also happiness comes with the opposite of it if you do hang on to it as well. So it's a very good topic to discuss. With this, we have to move on to the reports and any questions and answers towards the end. To start this session, I will invite Samantha today to conduct this session.
Thank you, Sonali. And thank you, Venerable Rohini, for that wonderful talk on happiness, which we all obviously need and need to practice. Just like to say, we've got two reports this week. But if anyone has any questions on the talk or their practice, please do put them in the chat, and I'll read it out to Venerable Rohini so she can give you some guidance. So before I go on to report to read all the reports, I'll just quickly run through the practice just for any newcomers who are joining the program on the basic guidance on how to meditate, and then allow them to submit your experience, allow anyone to submit their experiences in the form of a report to either Venerable Rohini or Bhante. And I think the links should be in the chat soon. Don't think, yeah. There should be some links in the chat that you can have a look, and then that will give you guidance on how to do the reports and where to submit them. And then Bhante will give valuable guidance and advice how to progress in your meditation, and also Venerable Rohini as well. Right, there we are. I think we've got the links now. And so there are also two helpful video links put together by Nisarana Vanaya. That's also in the link. That will be in the link as well. On both on mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can allocate some time for the practice daily, starting with walking, as we did today, and then do some sitting meditation, gradually building up to, say, 2 hours per day. So then please submit your experiences in writing, both mindful, both in the mindful walking and sitting, to Bhante or Venerable Rohini. And there's an example in the chat how to do this as well, so they'll give you some guidance. For example, if you're walking, you can describe any prominent sensations, texture of the ground, pressure points on the sole, and whatever sensations that you felt, and also what Venerable Rohini discussed today as well, that's emotions. That's also a good practice as well, to see, not cling to happiness. How the body weight shifted. Similarly, in sitting meditation, again, you can refer to any prominent sensations, incoming and outgoing on the breath, at the nostrils, or rising and falling of the abdomen, whichever sensation becomes prominent to one. So write down all the mindful experiences, also on daily activities during the day. That's also important. of you know to do the practice on the sitting down and walking, but obviously we've got all the hours during the day that we have to be mindful of as well, so that would be very helpful having done the practice. Then during the session, Bhante or Venerable Rohini will give valuable guidance to your own practice and how to progress your meditation. You can send the reports as in the link, either in Google form or by email using the links provided in the chat. So this is a good opportunity to get personal guidance from both Bhante and Venerable Rohini on your meditation progress. And you can continue with your mindfulness practice during the week according to advice given for your own report during the session. And finally, the recordings of the session are available at the link given in the chat. So if you miss any sessions, you can go on to those. Yeah. Okay, without any further ado, let me now go on to this week's reports. Venerable, we have two reports, which I'll read out now. So the first one is by an adult. So mindful walking. Walked in local area, which also doubled as daily exercise walk. Feet movements, weight shifting, and quicker heart rate noted. Also able to note contact of light breeze on face. Nature sounds. Noticed upper body slanting forward when walking uphill, and upper body leaning back when moving down slopes. Attention naturally returns to feet movements as well. Notice thoughts in the background, mind not interested in these. Walked for 40 minutes, felt energized afterwards. So that was on mindful walking. Mindfulness during the day now. This event is about a rice cooker. Now, it is laughable, but at the time it felt like a big loss. Was at temple last Saturday for alms giving organized by husband's OBU. 40 people were expected. Took small rice cooker from home to use for red rice. The event went beautifully and the blessings were felt by many. Returned home with all other equipment taken, only to realize the rice cooker was left at the temple. The mental landscape changed and the mood became low. In the mind, it was a huge loss. It did not make sense at all, as having lost other things in the past few years, the response was much more realistic. Following day, the mind was still pointing out the loss. This time laughed aloud, but decided to investigate the root cause. Listened to mind and it said, that sized rice cooker is perfect for cooking red rice for dana. Incidentally, this rice cooker had been used only during dana time. Not planned that way, but happened that way. That was the real loss for the mind. Thinking there will be a problem at dana preparations without it. Checked if it's true and found there will not be an issue because it may still be at the temple and not misplaced. If not found, then of course can buy another and continue to be involved in almsgiving. With this mindfulness, the feeling of loss slowly disappeared. It was not about loss of rice cooker at all, but about wrongly thinking participating in dana without it would pose a problem. Shared with Dhamma friend and laughed again. Story ends with one of the monks keeping that rice cooker in the storeroom, which was reunited with family now.
Interestingly, when it returned there, was no joy in the mind, it was neutral. Dear Venerable, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Theruvan Saranai. That's the first report, Venerable Rohini.
Thank you.
If you want to,
Samantha. I'd like to discuss about the rice cooker thing actually, because the mindful walk is quite normal and it's good, and the reporting is also good. There's nothing for me to compare or discuss about the mindful walk. So all the observations are there and the writing is good. But the rice cooker thing, yeah, so that is what happened. Whenever we are facing something unusual, uncommon, so we usually we jump into conclusions with negative thoughts. That is how our mind works. Most of the time it is like that. So if we dig it down into the deep, deep level, then you can find what is the reason for that distress. So it is, if you not dig down it to that level, in deep level, you will not find that the cause root is a genuine thing. So without that rice cooker, you can't offer the food, offer the dana to the temple. So that is the main reason. But if you dig down, only you found it after you dig down into the deep level. Otherwise, you think that, okay, I am so frustrated about this losing my rice cookers. So that can be normal person. For a normal, unmindful person, that can be the reason. The losing two rice cookers. But for a mindful person who is practicing mindfulness, when she or he can dig down into that level, looking for the reasons, the root, that root cause of the incident, so you can find the reality. So that is how mindfulness act in different situations. So I need to be happy about it. Everybody can dig down like that whenever the negative thoughts are coming, and whenever the negative thoughts are hurting yourself, you can dig down like that. So when you dig down, the root cause you will find is ultimately it is a very good joke to laugh at laugh with other friends. So if you in day to day life, if all of you can find all situations like this in normal life, day to day life, in the beginning we think it is as a bad negative feeling. But if you dig down, then you will find something that, like Pollyanna, you will find something positive in that negative, hiding something positive among the negative thoughts. So usually what we do, we blame to the negative thoughts, thinking, oh, I am such a bad person. Always we not appreciate our feelings. We always try to find our negative things. That is very usual. Rather than most of the time, especially women, they very happy to find negative things in them rather than finding negative things in others. So very harshly, we like to find something negative in myself or something negative in yourself. So that is something very interesting, and it's good. It's a good practice of mindfulness, and I like to invite everybody to dig down those things. When you feel like something very, very negative, you dig down to the cause root and find it, and you can laugh at yourself with others also. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Venerable. We've got another one report, but it's a Kamatahan report. Let me just call that up. So it's by an adult, and it's okay. Teruan Saranai Bante, Venerable. Nothing to mention on Pariyankaya or Sakmana. Initially, it's a small battle between whether to share or not. Things don't pop out to write, and some small pieces are faded away. With the practice, it is noted that there is an ability to sense others' ways sometimes. While living with a family, different incidents show their hidden intentions and masks. Sometimes that very noticing is also tiring and it leads to letting go. When stuck somewhere, it is noted via tiredness and the focus automatically goes there. Sooner or later, it fades away. Sometimes it feels like things are happening from far away. It is like obeying the process and having nothing in my life, in my control. Notice that the family members don't like my ways. Less talk and rare people pleasing ways. Sometimes a sudden urge arises to move from here. Then automatically stays with that till it fades away. It is noted that it is not a dislike of the situation, but a reminder as better to move for your goodness. Family tries to control me and they fail to do so. They criticize me in front of outsiders to release their inner battles. So it is found that whatever one tries to hide is revealed somewhere unexpectedly. I stay knowing those, but as unknown. Even though their advantages ways are felt, what needs to be done is done on their behalf without tiring me. But no urge to do any by force when I sense someone having without gratitude. Sorry, when I sense someone behaving without gratitude, a solution arises to keep a distance from such people and do what I can do without expecting anything in return. Teruan Saranai, Venerable. That's the end of the report, Venerable.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Samantha. I notice a couple of things in there. It says the family member don't like my way. So my way of doing things, so my way of saying things. So maybe it's mentioned my way. So that is the my view. So the my way is my view. Sometimes we think my view is the right. My view is completely right, and others correct opposite. So that is my view. So if we ask the other family members, they might say that is, and their view also right. So this is the conflict we always face within the family as well as in office situations and, you know, workplaces and all those things. Because I keep my view as right and I keep my view as my view and it is the right view. So that is something we need to consider, like the before report, the last report was quite comparatively dig down the deep into the mental condition. So if this person also can dig down to the deep level in your mind, so how about how you explain my view? So how you explain my way, actually in the report says my way. So the my way is my view. Can you, if you can dig down into the deep level and analyze my way, then you will find pros and cons in there. So if you can find pros and cons, then you can surrender in a certain level. If you don't find any pros and cons in your way, then maybe you are right. So even if you are right, when it comes to the family and when they try to control you, and it says they try to control you and they failed, and because of that they talk about you in outside area, so like that, so the conflict is going on and on. So someone has to let go, because according to today's session, we all looking for happiness. So the happiness should rely on all those matters. So that is a family. We are talking about a family. The family is something you can't avoid. So your family is there. Always family is there. Then if something happened, so still you have to face with them. It is not like a workplace. If you can't tolerate, or if you can't face to the workplace environment, you can resign from the work and you can go somewhere else. But when it comes to the family, it is so hard to avoid those things. So whatever the circumstances, what you need to find, what is wrong in my side. So rather than looking for someone else or the other family member's side, first you need to find your, whatever is happening within you is right or wrong, according to your knowledge. So when it comes, if you think it is right, your way is right, it is the way, it should be the way, then as I said, you can dig it down and analyze it. And still, if you feel like it is the right way, then what you need to do, you need to forgive yourself. Or you need to let it go to the other side, people's thinking and people's harassments or whatever is happening in that other side. So accept the reality. Sometimes we all have to face that kind of conflicts within family, the extended family or the immediate family. There are many people who are we think as family, but they come from different places and different situations. Their childhood are very different, so we can't expect everything is happening in a right way or my way or a perfect way. So that is why we should not, according to today topic, that is why we should not clinging into happiness. If we are clinging into happiness in this situation, we are the person is looking for happiness by conflicting or by going against the others. So in here, someone has to get surrender. Someone has to let go. Someone has to forgive. Someone has to think about the happiness without judgment, without grudge, without any entanglements. So I hope as a mindful practitioner, so I think you are the one who need to look at other than the other people. Maybe other people are not practicing the mindfulness. So as a mindfulness practitioner, please dig down yourself and find the real situation unbiasedly and face the consequences and face the immediate reactions or whatever it is. Thinking, not going for happiness, but going for neutral family life. So if the person want to question again or any Other questions, please forward. That is what I want to, I have failed to say.
Thank you, Venerable. That was really valuable advice. I too found that very useful. I'll just open the floor now. Is there anyone else in who would like to ask a question from Venerable regarding their practice or any other question? If so, just raise your hand, then we'll unmute you. No, I don't think we have at the moment, no. Yeah, I'd just like to say, yeah, that was very valuable advice, Venerable Rohini, today. I too found recently, rather than depending for happiness on the outside, I always sort of like, or sad or happiness or the opposite, disappointments and sadness. I always try now, well, trying, started to see, look inwards, not blame the other party for my own happiness. Because an incident happened within the family last week, and I was getting frustrated and upset about it. Then I thought to myself, well, no, you know, it's not, don't blame the outside. Have a look at inside within myself and see how I can change my own perception of the situation. Would that be the right way of looking at it?
Yeah, of course, yes, because forgiveness is one of the way that inner happiness can achieve or can happen. Yeah, the forgiveness and the acceptance should be there as a practitioner. So it is wise to have that, accept the reality and the forgive yourself as well as the others. So
yeah,
it's the right way.
To forgive the other person initially, I've forgiven a lot before, but it was a bit difficult. So would that come later on with time, I presume, as the practice
grows?
Yes,
definitely. Because when you practice, actually, when we all practice, for example, mindful sitting or mindful walk. So when the mind, I will get mindful sitting. While you are sitting in quietly, and when you try to concentrate on breath, and if there is anything happen outside, that is the kind of frustrating moment. So we are trying to be mindful, and the outside world is something happening outside that is breaking your concentration. So you get frustrated. And in that sense, in the beginning, what we did, we all did, we were frustrated and we were complaining, or we were get anger, aversion is arise, and all those things happen. But later, when you practice more and more, the how do you call it, ivasima, the patience is developing within you in the practice. While you are practicing, it has already developed. So that is what you take into the day-to-day life. While you are practicing mindful walk or mindful sitting, you are doing this. You are practicing patience. You are ignoring the outside world, and you are whatever happened in outside, you just ignoring during that 30 minutes, and you have that endurance. So that whatever you gain through your mindfulness practice in 30 minutes or 1 hour, whatever the time period, you brought that experience into the day-to-day life. That is how you try to forgive. Whenever you are not successful in mindful sitting, you forgive yourself. You are in the beginning, you are not forgiving yourself. In the beginning, you are blaming yourself. Why can't I do this? Everybody else can do, and you know why I can't, and why all these things happening to me, and a lot of complaining against yourself. You are doing those complaining. But later on, when you practice more and more, you reduce that complaint yourself. And you start to forgive yourself whenever something happened. Whenever the distraction happened, you forgive yourself. So that forgiveness and the patience is developing within the practice. That is what you bring into the day-to-day life. So it is so interesting. When you practice more and more, you will find the forgiveness to others as well as yourself is developing inside you.
Thank you. Thank you, Venerable. That's really helpful. Really appreciate that valuable advice. And just going to say we've reached the time. They said there's another comment by someone in the chat. Shall I read that out? Have we got time, Sonali?
Yeah, if it's a short comment,
Yeah, I think it's just a. Yeah, I think it's just a general comment. It's a venerable, venerable Rohini. Thank you for the guidance. Yes, as you mentioned, with digging, found out that each work, believing each one is right according to their experience and understanding. Same time with the practice. Talks happened when it is needed and others want more conversations. But more talks led to tiredness for me when needs to be silent. So I can understand that they can't understand my side. So it feels to move away, letting them be with themselves. I think this could be... follow up from the last Kamatahan report that I read, and Venerable asked, you know, if that person wants to expand on any comments. I think that person, yeah, thank you, Venerable.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes some grudges and some conflicts are taking time, so time is the matter. So gradually it will solve with the time. So it is a good way also give it a time to solve itself.
Okay, thank you, Venerable Rohini. Shall I now pass on to Sonali to wind up? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Samantha. We are slightly over the time today. So I will move on to ending the session. Thank you to everyone who shared reports and contributed towards this session. on behalf of the organizers, I'd like to thank Venerable Rohini for guidance on this session, and our usual guide, Bante Dhammakusala Thero as well. And we can't forget the chief abbot of Nisaranavanaya, whose idea was to initiate this program, Venerable Udeyriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero. May this merit help all of them to practice and improve their own practice as well. Thank you to all the organizers who are working really hard behind the scene, and thank you to everyone who participated today via Facebook live stream, Zoom, and anyone who may be watching later as well. And also, every week we bring the session to you at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time, and we will see you next week as well. We wish you all a happy and wonderful week ahead.